Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. Welcome back. Well, as this is the opening to season three, I kind of wanted to check in and see how everybody is doing. So for me, well, I'll ask myself, Aisha, how are you doing?
So, Hera, I am literally in survival mode right now. So the holiday season was really rocky, and the new year's got off to a pretty crappy start too. And I can't even say really how I feel, because there is no one emotion right now that captures feeling overwhelmed at having the children suddenly home with you for 4 weeks while you're trying to work and catch up on work that you were behind on, but you're secretly glad that the children are home and safe with you from Omicron, but also feeling super sleepy and weepy because the mild weather has caused your allergies to flare up, but also disappointed with work and the continued microaggressions against Black women, and then shaking my head the week of school closures due to snowstorms and COVID exposures at daycare, and now we're currently quarantined. And I'm quarantining with two healthy and energetic children. There's not one emotion.
All the things.
That's there All the things. To capture it. So I know many parents out there are like me, where the next wave of something that happens, you're just shaking your head. You're like, WTF, and you're just laughing hysterically. And then you just move on. Yeah, the undercurrent of life still going on with the added, for us on the East Coast, weather-related closures. And now we have all types of COVID variants. It's just a bit much.
So I'll quickly run through some of the common questions that we get in our space. So how did you balance trying to conceive with your current career?
So I think because we get a lot of people in our space that are either mid-career or early career, we do have some retirees. I think once you're of age, you're out there in the world by yourself, you're working, you have a place to live, then it's okay. So what are the other things that I can do in my life? And so for me, I started trying to conceive when I was about, we're taking age off. So career-wise, I started trying to conceive when I had moved into a position that allowed me more autonomy over my schedule. And so this was a leadership position, and I was in a leadership role when I tried for my first, and it was fairly easy. I think we get questions that are geared toward, what if you're trying to climb the career ladder and trying to conceive? Do you pause your career? Do you continue to ascend the ladder? What do you do? And so for me, at the time where I was trying to conceive and trying to navigate my career, I was of the mindset that I never really tied my identity to my career. I really had a whole life that I wanted. And so when I thought in terms of the bigger picture of what kind of life I wanted, I stepped out of leadership in order to give myself the space and kind of the balance that I wanted for my life. And so in charge of my schedule, to some extent, I had hit the ceiling at my job, and I was told this is as far as you can go. And I'm like, okay, cool. Then this must be the time for me to try to conceive, because I'm waiting for things to change at a corporate level, and I'm going to utilize this time to the best of my ability. Now, once I became an individual contributor, I was a bit off the radar at that point. And so I could literally do 5, 6 a.m. appointments when I needed to, because that's when you do your monitoring. So I had to look at the reality of my work situation based on what my total goal was for my life to be able to balance work and family. So now, as an SMC, two things I need: my job and my benefits. And so I'm not trying to take too many steps back, but I did pause and made a lateral move into something that felt more doable for trying to conceive. So for those that are out there that are asking the question, I would say, look at the current company that you're with, what you know about your company, what you know about your industry, and can you feasibly put a pause and then try to conceive and start your family? Or is it that you probably want to consider moving to a company that is more family friendly or moving into a role that is more family friendly? So that's how I approach that, looking at my circumstances.
Oh, this is a question or a scenario we get a lot in the single mother by choice spaces. Would you move to be closer to family to support you and your SMC journey?
When you move to be closer to family, make sure you know who those people are before you pick up and move, because there are lots of stories out there where people like, I picked up and moved. I left my career to be closer to family, and this was a mistake. So know who your people are before you make that move. Okay. All right. So let's talk about how we go about announcing the milestones in our SMC journey. So we are just coming off the holiday break, and we will typically through the holidays see a spike in either new people joining the space because they're around family, people have kids, they want kids of their own, they might be getting uncomfortable questions about what have you. So we see such a range of emotions, and then we see people who are currently parenting also coming in an unsteady emotional state because of things they have encountered. So with all of that being said, let's talk about how we announce these milestones that happen as an SMC, whether you're TTCing or parenting.
So do you actually have a conversation with your child about being donor conceived, or do you hold off until they ask questions?
It goes against every bone in my body, having been in this space for 10 plus years, where one of the key mantras is tell your kids the truth, tell them often, be honest. And so I cringe when I'm like, oh no, you plan on starting this kid's life out as a lie. And then how do you untell that lie and have the child be confident in their conception story? Yeah. And so for me, I'm just like, ooh, I would rip that Band-Aid off sooner rather than later and let that be your first step in parenting. And it's just like, be honest, be open, be transparent, because at that point, it does matter to your unborn child. People don't really care as much as we like to think that they do. In our head, there's paparazzi following us, right?
Yeah, right.
In the real world, you're like a wave of smoke just passing people by.
Yeah.
Yep, it's all about the kid. Yeah. So again, read the room and know your people, right? And so if you're expecting happy responses and Aunt Sandra's going to be there, who has her panties in a bunch most of the time, that's probably not the time and not the audience to announce. But also around the holidays, there's a whole bunch of emotions. There are memes that go around during the holiday season, protect your peace. This is not a period where you want to bare your soul and be 100% vulnerable unless you know the people are going to be supportive. Now, you have some doting parents that are like, oh, when are you going to give us a grandbaby? We don't care. How it happens, just produce a grandbaby. Or you have friends that are just like, who are familiar with your journey, who are genuinely going to be happy for you. Know who your people are before you make this announcement. And not only that, if you're announcing at large family gatherings, you're also centering yourself, right? And you have to be sure on why you are centering yourself at that particular time. So Thanksgiving, Christmas, don't do it. Do it on a random Tuesday in March. My attitude on a lot of this stuff is just live your life, right?
We are living in the days where people still celebrate these Hallmark holidays. So what is your approach to the adults with food events at most schools and daycares? For example, Muff with Mom and Donuts with Dad.
If you're going to show up, and I try to focus on what my kids need, and we don't have a father in our family. So I'm like, do I want a donut today? If I want a donut today, I'm going to go get a donut. If my daughter's mom, are you coming to this event at school? I'm going to show up for my kid. Point blank in the story. Now, I do take issue with how antiquated and not inclusive these events and these terms and these titles are. And so I'm going to have that conversation with the other adults in the situation. So I'm going to have the conversation with the teacher. I'm going to have the conversation with the school. There's nothing lost at putting your feelings and your thoughts out there, especially when it creates a more inclusive space for everybody. But for me, if I want a donut, I'm going to go get a donut. And if every man or adult that's in that room is uncomfortable at my presence, you need to ask yourself why you're uncomfortable. But hey, I'm going to get a donut. And it's also interesting because some people who will have this issue might have a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old. And it's like, is your kid really saying, Mom, I have an issue with this? Or are you really projecting your level of discomfort and insecurities onto your own kid and saying, oh, we need to tackle this because my kid is going to be uncomfortable? And it's just like, okay, so two things that I'm trying to raise my kids with is that not everybody gets a trophy. Not everybody gets invited. And that's fine, right? If the world is not going to show up for you, you still have to go on living. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. But also the other thing is that use these as opportunities to either engage the kid on their level or engage the adults on their level. So I remember one time where there was a Father's Day event at my daughter's daycare. And my daughter had already shared her story. So the teachers came to me and asked me, should she make it for you? Should she make it for an uncle or a grandfather? And we had a real nice conversation. And so I say, if you are, and some people will say, I'm the only SMC family in the class, then show up, right? Because your presence can make the difference in opening up that conversation. Show up, bring a book, show up, have the conversation, even if it makes you uncomfortable. Remember, daycare, you only have 1 or 2 years to see these teachers again, but what you're doing is going to have a lasting impact on that entire school community. So show up.
Full Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasmc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.